gonna be fun. We can stay up late, swapping manly stories, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Oh!
Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this anniversary episode of Altered Geek is one of the original hosts.
I was going to say, we should let the true co-host actually be first.
We just derailed this whole thing.
I know. Start it over. Sorry.
Take two.
What I was doing. Hello and welcome.
You have to leave all of this in.
Yes, yes, he does. And he probably will.
I probably will because I won't edit it. I've gotten lazy. I have to do like intricate edits at work now. I don't care it when I get home. So, hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Joining me again, like I said prior to this, on this adventure into geekdom, is the original co-host to Altered Geek, Booth Ninja Powers.
Well, it's actually Mike Powers, but thank you for differentiating me from our other co-host on this episode with us.
Yeah, it's harder with multiple mics.
There's only one Steve, though, so...
Yes, that's always how it goes, though.
Yep.
So, as you've heard, TFG1 Mike is here as well. So, this is a kind of just shooting the breeze episode, catching up, discussing what we're doing in our geekdoms at present, to kind of pass the time as summer goes by.
I wish we'd hurry up and go by already.
I'm right there, but probably for completely different reasons.
Yeah, I kind of am too, for a different reason too, but that's more so because there's a huge drought on this side of the country and all of our water reservoirs are running low and they're like, we might not have electricity or water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mine's just, I want to be able to take better care of my yard and I don't like the heat.
Yeah, we're supposed to, like, in our homeowners association, we're supposed to water our lawn, which when you have a massive drought that, you know, when Colorado feeds like Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and part of California, their water and your reservoirs are running low, it kind of, you know, my front lawn and my back lawn don't really matter when it comes to people actually getting to drink water.
Yeah.
Not unless your HOA thinks so.
Yeah, my HOA does think so right now. So different parts of Colorado are doing, you know, no more watering your lawn effective immediately until we get the reservoirs refilled. Ours is like, nope, we're good. We're in the northern part. We're like an hour from Wyoming. We're like, we don't care about anybody else. Let's just roll with it.
Jeez.
So,
man. I'm just trying to conserve water so I don't run up my water bill. That's the only thing I worry about. So I've just switched to watering my front yard right now.
Yeah, we have a sprinkler system and benefits of my 4-year-old house here, and they allot you so much of unpotable water per year for the watering of your lawn. And they charge you a flat fee of $300 every summer to water your front lawn and back lawn. And so everybody around here is like, well, since they're charging me $300, I'm going to water it 3 times a day on my allotted days. And they'll, yeah. So there's some people that do it every single day, just in spite. Because not only do we have an HOA, we've got a metro district, which is on top of, and it doesn't go away either. So yeah, okay. And then my drinking water is separate.
Okay, so the one thing I have started geeking out about in the last year and a half since, I think it was COVID that really forced me into getting into this, but I kind of saw myself going this way anyways, just because of who I am. I've gotten really into taking care of my lawn. And the one thing I've learned is that you really should only be watering your lawn in the morning between like 5 and 7 a.m.
Yep.
Like that's the only time you should be watering your lawn. Any more than that, you're wasting your time and your water.
So what I do is I have mine set to go off between 4 and 5 a.m. On my allotted days, because they go by like odd houses. You go like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then the other days you do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I do like a 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. slot, and then I do the 9 p.m. slot so that I get twice in the day, but it's not during the peak heat.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's basically like watering it every day without actually watering it every day.
Right. Yeah. Coming to the GCRN next summer, Lawnmower Man 3, Booth Ninja on the Lawn.
No, but that's one of the things like, I was concerned about with, like, you know, coming on the show, because we talked about earlier to see what the last time I was on the show, which was 2019. And that was right before we had moved into our home. So I have now, Allie and I are coming up on 2 years in our new home.
Awesome.
And so we're really happy with it. And last year we spent a lot of time, like, you know, just working around that. Well, we did more work around the house this year, but last year we had like things installed that we kind of always wanted. We had a tankless water heater installed, which is amazing.
Yes, they are.
And then we had a couple months after that, he had solar panels installed, which, I mean, I would say is amazing, but solar panels is one of those things that's like you set it and forget it. And so there's not a whole lot to like, most days you don't even really realize that you have them until you get an electric bill that is like a dollar. So it's
that's the greatest thing about solar is that it's very cheap.
So,
I've thought about getting that set up for my house. We get a lot of sun here.
It's if you're in an HOA, so you might your guy my HOA. It took me 2 months of going back and forth with my HOA to get them to approve our solar panels, despite the fact that our guidelines that I have say nothing about adding solar panels to your house. So it was very tedious, but I just kept fighting with them. And it took 2 months, but then they were like, okay, fine. First, they tried to give me a conditional approval. And I was like, no. I am not spending X amount of thousands of dollars to put solar panels on my roof on a conditional approval. And for anyone that doesn't know, or might be familiar with it, a conditional approval from an HOA basically just says you can do it as long as you follow our guidelines. And you can also go outside our guidelines as long as someone doesn't complain. So what the issue was that I had was that in the guidelines, they say that the solar panels have to match the color of your roof.
Yeah, one of those weird rules.
I'm sorry, what? Where are you gonna... You show me a black roof. Show me, like... And I went back and forth with the guy that gave me the conditional approval, and then finally I called and talked to a different lady about the whole thing, and she was like, yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. And so that... And I was like, okay, I want an actual hard approval. Because you're not going to change the... Obviously, the guidelines are going to stay the same, right? Where the panels have to match the color of the roof. Mm-hmm. So if the guy that builds his house behind me decides that he doesn't like my solar panels, he can complain and we can get fined. And we'd have to take them down. Meanwhile, I would still have to be paying for the solar panels. But I got a hard approval. So even if someone complains, I have approval for my solar panels.
That's nice. Awesome.
So it's like, I'm not messing with that. No, thank you. I want them, but I need an actual approval for it. So yeah, we went, we were just doing stuff like that the last year. And I went through 3 lawnmowers in the last year.
Man.
Wow.
Well, I moved into a house. I'm sure some people might remember this. I had a zero turn lawnmower.
Yep.
From when I lived on like almost an acre of grass. And we moved down here in the first house we had. It was not an acre, but it was still like you could still mow the whole thing with a zero turn mower, and it was fun to do. Well, move into this house and it's a much smaller lot. And it took me all of 5 minutes to mow the lawn with the zero turn. And I did everything I could possibly do to like try to be able to keep it. Like I went and asked, you know, neighbors. Like I didn't like want any money for it. I went and asked like the neighbors down the street for me, because we all kind of moved in at the same time, so we all kind of had like a little rapport. I was like, hey, do you want me to mow your yard, yada yada yada. Like I went to, like, new people that moved in and their grass was really tall, I'd go over and ask them if they want me to mow their yards, and they would all, everyone said no. And they would go, I would watch them go out and struggle and mow grass that was like over their knees with a push mower. And I'm just like, you guys are idiots. Like,
yeah,
why do you want to do, and it's like in the middle of the summer, it's like 90 degrees out, and you want to push mow a lot. First of all, you want to push mow a lot that is over knee high, and you want to scalp it. Okay. Clearly you're first time homeowners and don't know what you're doing. It just really irked me. So I was like, you know what? Clearly I don't need it. So I threw it up on Facebook one night, and within like 30 minutes of being posted on the Facebook Marketplace, I had a guy give me pretty much what I asked for it. Wow. And like, it wasn't, I was worried that it was going to be like one of those, will you take $100 for it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, I got exactly what I wanted for it. And I went and bought an Ego mower, an electric mower. And I was like, well, we're getting solar panels. I won't have to buy gas. They don't smell. There's no oil changes, no maintenance, no nothing, blah, blah, blah. I had that for a year. I had that for the last half of last year, and I used it for the first half of this season. I really liked it, but it wasn't doing it for me. So I put that up on Facebook and got what I wanted for it as well. And then I turned around, and just recently, within like the last 3 weeks, I bought a brand new Honda mower, and I've just been like over the moon with it. Makes all the difference in the world. Like, I liked the electric one. Don't get me wrong. It was mm-hmm. cool. It cut nicely. The problem is it doesn't have any type of, this is going to sound really weird. My wife and I always laugh about it when I say this. It doesn't have any suction. So if you're trying to cut grass that is, like, if you want to cut your grass at 3 inches or higher, like between 3 and 4 inches, not going to happen. It can't pick it up. If you do 2.5 or lower, it's amazing. So I was like, I don't want that. So I got rid of it and I got a gas one again. So happy with that. But yeah, I just got really into taking care of my lawn, man. It's that. I'm still very much into video games and watching movies and TV, but I don't share my opinions online like I used to.
No, you do that and, you know, you get 73 unwanted messages about your opinion on something.
Are you talking about Masters of the Universe or Transformers Kingdom, Mike?
That would be the first one. A buddy of mine that I know that has been in the fandom for years has not even posted publicly what his opinion of it is yet. And yet, just because he says he likes the old Filmation show, people have sent him abusive messages. He hasn't even given his opinion on the damn thing publicly, the new one. But he says, oh, I enjoy the old one. And oh my God, like, people on the internet suck.
They do. They do, genuinely. I think that over the last year and a half, people have really become more polarized over stuff and, like, can't take someone's general opinion without getting offended over it. And so, like, I I like things that other people don't, and other people like things that I don't. I mean, you don't have to enjoy everything. That's the beauty of geekdom. Enjoy what you want and just ignore the rest.
Well, I disagree with you, so this podcast is over.
Okay. All right. See you later. But no, bye-bye. Like, yeah, so like, it's kind of entertaining because people get up in arms really easily over, you know, their opinion of how a story is changed or how they're retelling a story differently. I have more problems with not any of that garbage, but I have a problem when it's like cheaply written.
Yeah.
Or
cheaply voiced.
Cheaply voiced or cheaply written, and you know that they're doing it as a cop out. Like it's not like they're giving the illusion they're trying to put out quality content. They're just like, yeah, this is like what we're doing right now, and yeah. I have like, let me put it this way. I took a clip from Transformers Kingdom of a bad voice clip. And I don't blame the actor. Like, I don't at all.
No, it's not his fault.
It's the voice director, but the whole trilogy has been plagued with issues of this new Transformers War for Cybertron. And, like, the first two parts, people talked incredibly slowly on everything. And people were dogging it, you know, like, the voice actors suck. No, it's the voice director. And then the third part, they fixed the speed, but the voices are atrocious. And so I, you know, being that I can do one of the characters, I revoiced it with proper voicing, and then I submitted both clips. And then, what do you know? Everything's going viral everywhere.
We haven't been this viral since I almost thought Maurice. Yeah. Since I almost thought Maurice LaMarche was going to come from California to Kentucky and kill me. Okay, so for those that don't know, I think Altered Geek has been around for 8 years as we are releasing this on August 2nd, 2021. It is our 8th year anniversary here on this show. 2010, 2011, whenever Arkham Asylum came out. I don't remember off the top of my head, and I'm not looking it up.
The original Arkham Asylum?
Arkham City. But okay. Essentially, the original Arkham games. So, Optimus Solo and I got a chance to interview Maurice LaMarche.
This was like 2010 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Well, it was. Asylum was 2009. So,
okay. So, that's not right, though, because I think I'm
2010 to 2011. Yeah. So, Optimus Solo and I, Kevin and I, got a chance to interview Maurice LaMarche on Tooncast. So at the time, you know, when we do voice actor interviews, we want to get their history. We want to get how they got into the business. We want to talk about specific projects. If you're ever on an interview with me, I will send you a script that has my intro, general questions to the actor or actress, and then specific sections like, you know, Maurice LaMarche obviously had an involvement in Inspector Gadget. He was the brain on Animaniacs. He's done all this other stuff. He's Maurice friggin' LaMarche. And Kevin had a question on there. What is your favorite type of voice acting to do? Animation, video games, dubbing, that, you know, what it was like three different options. Maurice says, oh, the funny thing about video games is it's you in a room by yourself yelling at people, or, you know, basically yelling at yourself. And then he just says offhand, didn't even ask him, I didn't even know. And he says, I just got finished with a session of doing Mr. Freeze for Batman Arkham City. And the next thing out of my mouth is, oh, can you give us a sample? Of course, he's going to say, no, sorry, I can't due to NDA. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So I get that recorded. And at this point, I'm editing the podcast. I finally learned how to do the editing so I don't have to bog Steve down. And this is before Steve. This is before you had kids, right? Yeah.
Yeah. This was 2009. Yeah, this is the year I got married.
Yeah. So I was doing the editing and I'm like, I need to, like, we recorded it the night before. I edited it the next morning and got it online. I edited it. I did everything with it.
got it online, and I walked away. I did the promotion for it, and I said, hey, we have an interview with Maurice LaMarche on blah, 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 talking about blah, 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 blah. Some unknown website, I don't even know what website it was. It's like one of these, we've got it, we've got this covered damn things, or whatever it was. It was some unknown website picked it up. Next thing I know, IGN picked it up. I'm out.
Kotaku had it. Everybody had it. Every game site on the internet had it.
And I'm out grocery shopping with my mom at the time. And I'm just, Steve's like, this is blowing up. Our website is going to explode. We are getting so many numbers. We are getting so much traffic, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because I'm like panicking. I contact his agent. I do all this other stuff. I try to message Maurice. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize this wasn't supposed to be out. So this is why now I ask at the end of every interview, no matter who it is. Is there something that you need me to remove? Is there anything that we have talked about in this interview that you do not want us to have in the interview? Because even though that gained us a lot of attention, it also made me, basically fear and loathe a guy that I've respected my whole life. Because I'm like, I'll basically fear him. And it's like, because, oh, crap, I've angered the great and wonderful Maurice LaMarche. And he's like, there's nothing you can do about it now. It's already out there. Even if we had gone back and re-edited it, that would make us just look stupid. That would make us look like that Kevin Smith video.
I never heard this.
Really? You've never heard this story?
Yeah, it was April 20th, 2010. And what's funny is on the Geekcast Radio About page, the under the recognition part on the About page, I mentioned that we were mentioned by and featured on Kotaku, which is now, I think, in Gadget.
Kotaku is still very much around, and they're
ridiculous.
Yes, they're
absurd.
And then Kotaku still got their article up, as does IGN, and Engadget has Joysticks articles merged over. I still have all of them linked there. It says, voice actor Maurice LaMarche, who previously voiced Brain in Animaniacs and Egon Spengler in the Real Ghostbusters cartoon, confirmed on the Geekcast Radio podcast he'll be providing the voice for Mr. Freeze in the upcoming sequel. And then they quoted him, from the podcast. I've only done a handful of video games, and I'm very lucky right now. I'm about to go in and do Mr. Freeze for Arkham Asylum 2.
I don't know how you've never heard this story, Mike.
No. Yeah. So I'm curious. What was the? Because I'm trying to remember how this went. Okay. So, is it just that he was? Was the spoil that he was voicing a character, or that he had leaked Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, because he says, to tell you the truth, I think contractually I can't, because he asked about the voices. I've got to keep it under wraps when asked about the character. As for Mr. Freeze's role in the game, he's out for blood right now because I can't tell you the situation, but he's actually somewhat of a sympathetic character within the framework of the game. So nobody knew he was playing Mr. Freeze at this point until our interview went live.
Yeah. Okay, because that's good.
I found out about it because I was looking up the Arkham games just for my own purposes. And then I saw Geekcast Radio popping up literally everywhere. And I called Mike. I'm like, what did you do?
I didn't do anything. I just edited an interview and put it online. I didn't do anything. We just asked a question and he gave an answer.
It's interesting to me because we kind of met each other in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right around Star Trek, and I remember we would do podcasts together, and I was doing my own podcasts, but I never remember hearing any of this ever.
Yeah, I wasn't on this one, which is probably why.
Yeah,
like I wasn't on this recording.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. So.
And the whole point of even telling this story again is because Steve has just said, we're blowing up again because of his revoicing Kingdom Megatron for Transformers in his...
Well, I jumped the gun, and this was I did it on purpose. I wanted to see what would happen, and that was more so. There's this like gray area in the embargo. They didn't specifically tell me what I couldn't play or have, but they did tell me what I couldn't have of three items that were plot oriented. And it was like how the series ends, and it has no bearing on most of what's going on in the season. So I just was like, hey, by the way, what can you expect when it drops? And then I did this whole blown out review, you know, criticizing various things and then mentioning what I did like about it too. And then I used, I recorded a line from Kingdom Megatron from the episode. And the first time the guy opens his mouth, it sounds like one of those like really anime lackey characters. Like it's not even like becoming of a leader.
He's a supposed buffoon. To be in charge.
He's a buffoon, and they turned his character from like a 180 from this hardcore, you know, battle hardened, you know, villain that, you know, had a Shakespearean element to this bumbling idiot that bowed before the feet of the other Megatron. And so I redid the lines and I did them in the same voice as the original show. You know, I said, I'm no David Kaye, but I can easily be a contender. So I posted my clip too. And people were like, hire this man now. which was just funny to me. So anyways, it's been going around on like all the Transformers, like Discord channels, the Facebook pages, the, their websites, like in the forums. Cause I've noticed it blew up across like YouTube as well. And what's funny is the images that are being posted are from Geekcast Radio's review, because I know because of the dimensions of the images, they're mine.
Yep.
I should have put a watermark on all
of
them.
You should have put a watermark.
I was like, man, it's a missed opportunity, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it was hilarious to me. I've been like riding the wave of it all week. Like, hey, you should go here and read the actual review. Or dumping my voice clip. So yeah, it's not quite as big as the Maurice LaMarche, but it's huge in the Transformers part of it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is a couple of people on Twitter are like, oh, well, the voice of Kingdom Megatron has been leaked, and they'll post a link to the audio clip.
Right off the Geekcast Radio upload.
Off the Geekcast Radio upload, but they won't actually tag at Geekcast Radio in the tweet, and I'm like, I responded to that person. I'm like, hey, that's at SCP-21 at Geekcast Radio. We did that, or he did that, or whatever, however you want to say
it. And I told Birdman about it the other day when I recorded with him, and he says, you got to be careful, man. And I says, well, they didn't exactly say that they didn't want any other stuff promoted, like in the review. Like they dropped the embargo. It's just, they didn't want you releasing information about how it ends. So I just was like, it's free game. Plus, think of all the, you know, positive or negative the publicity they got from it. Because Netflix sure as heck didn't do much.
So can we talk about this just for a second? And I know, Mike, you probably haven't. Yeah, just for 2 seconds. I know you probably haven't watched Masters of the Universe. I'm pretty sure you don't care.
Not yet, actually. I do want to, because Allie was kind of
okay. That's fine. I'm not going to spoil anything for you. I'm not going to spoil anything for you. It's not about that. What surprises me is how much, because Kevin Smith is attached, how much publicity Masters is getting from Netflix Geeked, from Kevin Smith, from all of the voice actors that are on that project. Meanwhile, Transformers, Hasbro is like silent. Like the only thing I've seen in the last few days is, oh, we have 5 days till Kingdom. We have 4 days till Kingdom. We have 3 days. Like it's an image a day counting down to when it's going to be on Netflix kind of thing. Like I haven't seen anything major about Kingdom anywhere. All the YouTube video reaction channels I follow at times, like Clownfish TV, and I'm not calling them out, I'm just saying that's a channel I watch. Nobody's talking about Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom. Everybody is all up in arms because of Kevin Smith. and Masters of the Universe, and it's just crazy to me.
Isn't that kind of like, one, it's Kevin Smith who has a platform, okay?
Yeah.
And the other one, too, is this is the third in a trilogy, so how much do they actually need to emphasize anything? And the way that you guys have been talking about Kingdom, it seems like they just shoved it out the door because of how the first two seasons probably went. I say that because I tried watching the, I thought, Age. You know what, let me try watching the first part, you know, mm-hmm. and I, geez, guys, I checked out like halfway through the first episode once, and I went back to try to watch it again, and I think I made it halfway into the second episode before I checked out.
It's but, like, not for everybody. Well,
to be fair, I don't mind the animation necessarily, except that they don't transform. But not only that, but I think it's taking itself too seriously, which is part of the problem. And then the other part is they're telling a bunch of stuff. Like, I found Siege to be completely uninteresting, and Earthrise had some interesting moments, but ultimately I don't remember anything before episode 5 of Earthrise, which is the second part of the trilogy. And I only remember that episode. And then I remember the last 30 seconds of episode 6 in Earthrise because it had the Kingdom nod with Dinobot, but other than that I don't remember anything else because it's completely forgettable.
Yeah, I feel like that's just how Netflix is though. Like, you don't, they don't do, like, Netflix itself isn't going to do much beyond like hyping the first part of a series, especially like, I don't, it, the Transformer stuff isn't the same. I don't even think Masters of the Universe is the same to them as like their Witcher content. Like I think like shows that they that are like theirs, I think they have more of an investment in. So it's up to, I think it'd be up to Hasbro to market whatever's going to be done for Transformers. And I think Kevin Smith just has a platform.
Yeah.
So
I enjoyed all of it. I have little nitpicks for each thing, honestly. I don't remember. This is why at some point in the future, sometime around Christmas or something later this year, I don't know if Steve's going to be, it's up to Steve if he wants to watch it all again, but Optimus Solo and I are going to watch all three parts all I'm going at once. To. Okay. I know you said as soon as you watched Kingdom, you're like, I'm only watching this once. I'm never watching it again.
Well, what's sad is I've watched it three times because I wanted to get a... Well, right. It's more so I wanted to get a clear... Like, my first impact of watching it was, like, disgust over the voice actor aspect.
Right.
And how bad it sounded. But yeah. I was trying to look at it with the like, reviewer eye instead of my personal feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I watched it three times. I watched it once by myself, once with my kids, to get their opinions and to take into note what they took away from it. And then I watched it again afterward. And a lot of the same stuff still traveled with me, but there were other aspects I was able to find some decency within it. And there were a lot more pluses in this third part of the trilogy than the first two put together.
Yeah. Yeah, so at some point down the line, we're going to do one episode of it all. But honestly, ever since I watched, recorded, and released each one of these things that we've done. So we did one episode for Siege. We did one episode for Earthrise because we got early access. We did spoiler and non-spoiler episodes for Kingdom. Ever since we recorded those episodes and we're about to release them, or one, the non-spoiler one is out. The spoiler one as of this recording isn't out yet, but it will be. Like, I don't remember, the only thing I remember is two things. Apparently there's snow or debris on Cyber, it looks like a snowstorm on Cybertron, and Nemesis Prime shows up. Those are the only two things I remember outside of Beast Wars Megatron's voice being, ugh. Ugh.
Yes, it is you.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, what have you guys been enjoying, like, just in your personal geekdoms lately? For one, it's been a while since we've done one of these, so it's just kind of interesting to go around the panel and see what everybody's been doing.
Let's start with the guest.
Yep.
Or the returning guest, because we haven't heard from him in a while, and I enjoy podcasting with him, and I wish he would let me do more of it with him, but it is what it is.
You know, okay, first of all, I have time now to be doing podcasts. My issue is like, I don't think I need to share my opinion on things, I guess. I don't know. Like, I have them. I've thought about, like, doing various things with them and sharing opinions, but I just don't think they're worth sharing. But no, in response to this question, still very much into the gaming scene. I'm in one of the lucky few to have been able to pick up a PS5 and an Xbox Series X. So I'm going to toot that horn a little bit. Now I will also back that up with saying there isn't anything to play on them at the moment. So basically they're just really fancy ways of playing games that I've already played before. I got way too involved in Fortnite since November, because that was one of the games that got a next gen patch for free and on launch with the consoles. So I had been playing that pretty much like every day for hours a day up until about a week ago. I broke that spell. Mike and I had a conversation about breaking spells, loot grind stuff before we started recording. But
yep.
So I'd done that. I haven't really been able to find a good single player game to sink my teeth into. I keep hoping that something's around the corner, and I keep like games on the horizon that I want to get, but then they end up being released, and then for some reason I end up finding a reason not to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this though, the one thing I have the two most powerful home consoles in my entertainment center, but the only thing that excited me this year from E3 was Nintendo when they showed up and drop Metroid all over the place.
Yeah, that Samus was definitely all over the floor.
Like I was over the moon for that. And I will say this, the one thing I have hated more than anything since this whole COVID thing started has been scalpers.
Oh yeah. That's been in every industry, because I've been trying to find Transformers toys, and it's nigh impossible to find them.
I don't get it. And I don't do the bot things or anything like that. I follow a guy on Twitter that posts when things go live on sites, and I try to go in and grab one. Like, oh, Natural. I mean, I was able, like, I feel like the scalping thing happened, like, it kind of started getting really bad around when the consoles launched, and it just got really bad when the graphics cards like launched, and like no one can get one. And I was lucky enough to be up. Now here's the crazy thing. I was lucky enough to not be able to get one PS5, but three.
Oh,
Au Naturel. First day they went up. So I got one from Walmart and I got one from Target. Au Naturel, and I kept trying to get it on Best Buy's website, but Best Buy's website was a crap show. So I went to bed and I was having trouble sleeping because I was really irritated that I couldn't get a freaking pre-order on Best Buy's website. And I remember I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and I rolled over and I grabbed my phone and I was like, you know what? I'm awake. I'm just going to check Best Buy's website one more time. What? One was sitting right, it was like right there, pre-order, go through the whole thing. It was so surreal. I felt like I had been dreaming, but I woke up in the morning to like a confirmation email. Like, so that was great. I got one for myself and for Allie, and then I got one for friend of the show, Joe Reed. So I wasn't trying to get like a whole bunch to like scalp. They were going to actual gamers.
Right. So. Yeah. Because here's the thing about gaming with friends or with significant others.
You want your gaming system. You want your gaming library. They want their gaming system and their gaming. Like, I'm sure Allie plays a bunch of games that you have no interest in.
Oh, she plays. She's played way more games than I have since November. I will say that right now.
Okay. Well, I'm not trying to throw your wife under the bus. I'm just, my point is, like for example, let's say, what's your favorite game of all time?
Chrono Trigger.
Let's say that's not her favorite game of all time. Let's say hers is something else. Maybe a game you don't like, or maybe a game you have no interest in.
Oh, she loves the Assassin's Creed games, so we have those.
Well, okay, well, but my point is, like, you have your stuff on your system. She has her stuff on her system. So, like you're saying, it's not like you're buying three systems to keep one for the two of you and then scalp the other two to get your money back. You're actually giving them to people that want to play them.
Yeah, and I can't scalp stuff. So, like, I remember I had the Wii U, and I bought that when it was popular, and it was like kind of like sold out before everyone kind of realized that the Wii U was not what it was supposed to be.
It was a PU.
Yeah, and I really liked the Wii U. I did, but the thing is, like, I sold it, and I didn't try to make any type of a profit on it. Like, I sold it for what I paid for it, but like the thing is, like, I threw in all the games I had included. Mm-hmm. So I spent $350 on the system. I bought like six games. I sold the console for $350 with the six games thrown in.
Yeah.
So like, I don't try to like gouge anybody for it. So even if I was to like snag like a PS5 right now from somebody, I'd probably turn around and flip it and sell it for like the cost of shipping.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, you're one of those guys, like my old buddy who is no longer with us, Optimus Scourge, back in the early days of Transformers toy collecting and fandom and online sales and eBay and everything else. He was always the cost plus shipping guy. As long as you're willing to pay the cost of the toys plus the shipping to your house, then that's what you would get. That's what the deal was. Like, there was no markup. There was no, oh my God, I need to make $1,000 on this toy that's 20 years old.
Yeah, that's how I sold you the SNES Classic.
Yeah.
So, but coming back around to Metroid, you know, they put up, they made new amiibo. The only amiibo I have are the Metroid amiibos. Metroid is my favorite Nintendo franchise, so they put up two new amiibos, and of course they put up like a collector's edition of the game that comes with like an art book and all this other stuff. And I was like, I want that so bad. And I tried Walmart. I tried Target. I tried Best Buy. Like I looked for it for like a week, and Amazon, I believe, according to the internet, Amazon hasn't even put up their pre-orders yet for like the collector's edition. I don't know what they're doing, but they haven't put them up. And so like, I just kind of gave up, but this Twitter account I follow, I kid you not, he posted that the Amazon Japan was selling the US version of the collector's edition if you wanted to pay $150 for it. It's 90 here in the US, but import and exchange rate and all that other stuff, it comes out to $150. And it was like, how much do I really want this? So, well, oh, hang on. I'm sorry. Let me back up here real quick. Amazon Japan put up their pre-order for the collector's edition. It was exactly the same thing as the American version. It was just, instead of saying Super Nintendo on these little art cards, it said Super Famicom, which is the name of the Super Nintendo in Japan, for anyone that doesn't know. And the game, of course, you can select your language, so you can play the game in English. It's the exact same game. It's just none of the included stuff would say Super Nintendo. It'd all say Famicom. And they had a bundle of it that came with the two amiibo for $150.
That's so a good deal.
I was like, I get it sent here. It comes like a week later. I get the Japanese version. I get the amiibo. And it's $150. And I don't have to hunt for it anymore. I'm done. I'm off the hook. I'm good. And I got it, but it just kept nagging at me in the back of my head that was like, what if the art book is in Japanese? You know, and but my buddy was like, oh, you can just run, if you really want to read it, you can just run a Google Translate over it, because let's be honest, if I'm going to read it, I'm going to read it once.
Yeah.
And so that made a lot of sense. So, you know, I kept it. And then a couple days later, the same Twitter account said that they put up the American version of the collector's edition by itself. But this time it was $150 just for the American version, no amiibo included. So I jumped on that too. So I have two copies. Actually, I think I have three copies of the game ordered. I have a standard edition ordered from Best Buy, because the scalpers didn't want just the basic version. They only wanted the collector's edition.
Yeah.
So I've got a just a regular old plain Jane version pre-ordered at Best Buy here in the US. I've got the Japanese collector's edition pre-ordered with the amiibo. Luckily, they come separated, so I could actually, if I really wanted to, I could probably turn around and sell the Famicom version. But, and then there's, I've got the US version also pre-ordered from Amazon. And the crazy thing is when they put those up, you can't just go on, buying something from Amazon Japan isn't the same thing as just going to Amazon.com. It's a completely different account. So yeah. When they put those postings up, I had enough time to go and make an account, put in all my information, verify all my emails, and still check out with what I wanted.
Right.
I was like, ah, and I'm off the hook. Short $300, but I'm off the hook.
So, and you have what you want.
Yeah. And I don't have to search for it anymore. So like, but yeah, that I'm super, you know, I have all this high end hardware, and the only thing I'm excited for is something that I'm going to play on the Switch. And it completely blows my mind. And I also had an opportunity to buy that Switch OLED. Like, I had it in the cart, like, and it said, you know, check out. It wasn't like it was, it never got the error that, you know, it wasn't, can't put this in your cart because we're out of, no, it was there. And I could have clicked checked out and I could have gotten one, but I was like, you know what? I could have. I don't need it. I don't want it. So I let it go. I thought about buying it and doing, like I said, you know, just posting it up for cost plus shipping just because. Yeah. But no, that was scalpers have just been the bane of my existence. And as far as anything else goes, Allie and I have been rewatching TV shows, which I don't know if you guys have the ability to do this or if you've tried it. Or maybe you have seen it or not, but if you have any means of getting a free trial of Apple TV Plus, anyone that has the means of getting a free trial of Apple TV Plus needs to check out Ted Lasso.
Yeah, I knew that's what you were going to say.
It came out last fall. The first season came out in the fall of 2020. Fall of 2019, I think, or early 20. I don't remember when it was. It was early, sometime in 2020 is when it came out. But I held out a month before I checked out the first episode, and I watched, Allie was out of town when I decided to put it on. So I was like, I'll just check this out and see what it is. I watched the first 15 minutes of it, and I was like, nope, I have to wait. I have to watch this with my wife. Because it was amazing. It's probably like it was the perfect thing to come out in 2020.
Yeah.
And my friend and I have a joke that we're not in 2021. We're in 2020-1.
Mm-hmm.
And season two is just a continuation of what everything that made season one so great. And it's still like the perfect thing for right now. It's like overwhelming optimism in the face of just crap.
Yeah,
is amazing. And it's like you almost think it might be annoying, and then you just get swept up into it because you realize you don't have to be. I think what the thing about it is it shows you that you don't have to be mad about the stuff that you think you should be mad about. And I'm not saying there isn't like important things. I'm not saying that there isn't anything in the last like year and a half that people shouldn't be mad, because people should be mad about quite a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like the smaller things, the stupid things that people get hung up on. Like it kind of shows you that stuff isn't as important as you might think it is. And I just, we just love that show. We watched it and then we watched it again like a month ago just to get ready for season two. And
very cool.
That and between that and there's another show on there called Mythic Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and Mythic Quest, a trial to Apple TV Plus is worth it. So
very cool. There was one, when Apple TV Plus was announced, there was one thing that I wish was on any other streaming service except Apple TV Plus.
What?
That was the movie The Banker with Mackie and Jackson.
Samuel Jackson.
Yes. Because I'm like, hey, it's Nick Fury and it's Falcon and yay. Luckily, somebody who actually does have Apple TV Plus found a way to get that to me. But Ted Lasso did debut last year, August 14th of 2020.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't think I checked it out until October.
So. That's how I am with some stuff. Like, I'll see something and then I'll be like, I'll get to it.
It just looked like, it's one of those things where, like, it looked hokey to me, but enough people in my Twitter feed whose opinions, like, matter to me, like, it got to me and I was like, you know what? And like I said, my wife was out of town, so it was like, whenever she goes out of town, like we watch a lot of shows together. Like I know what my wife likes to watch. Mm-hmm. So when she's here, we watch what we like a lot of the same things, but we watch that. But when she goes out of town, like that's when I go, okay, I can't watch this. I can't watch that. Can't do that. Gotta go. So I start just bumbling around trying to find something to watch. And I was like, you know what? Everyone's talking about this Ted Lasso show. Let me just check it out. And like I said, 15 minutes into it, I was like, nope, I'm going to have to wait until she gets home. And we're just going to have to watch this together because I know she's going to want to watch it.
Yeah.
So, and it was just the perfect thing for the crap show that was
2020.
Yeah. And the other thing though, and I thought it would be really annoying when Disney did it, when Disney Plus launched and they released The Mandalorian and they did it weekly instead of dumping it like Netflix does. I thought that'd be really annoying, but there was something, not so much the end of 2019 when The Mandalorian actually came out, but like in 2020, because Apple did that same thing too, where it was like, we're not going to dump everything at once. Things are going to be released weekly. And there was something about like
having to come back to it.
Yeah. There was something about having appointment viewing.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020 and in this year,
well, that, because you need something to do, because everybody doesn't. A lot of people lost their jobs. Some people had to switch from working at their actual jobs to working from home. So you needed something on your schedule to look forward to, something to enjoy.
Yeah, and, like I think it was structure. It was a way to add structure to something that was like pretty chaotic. Now don't get me wrong, I still like binging my shows, but
yeah I finally got on board with the Disney Plus weekly thing. I watched both seasons of Mandalorian every week, because for me with those shows it was, oh good, this means Ludwig Göransson is going to release a score for each episode, or however he's going to release it on Spotify, so I could hear the music outside of the show. So I'm like, oh, especially living out here in the Pacific time zone, like at 9 p.m. Pacific time, which is midnight Eastern time, I know in 2 hours I can go on Spotify and I can finally listen to the Transformers War for Cybertron Kingdom score by Alexander Bornstein, because I know it's going to be on Spotify. Same thing with the Mandalorian scores. As soon as I knew there was a new episode, I'm like, ooh, I immediately have to go to Spotify and make sure I have all of the music from the Mandalorian. And I was like that with WandaVision, even though I'm not sure if there's a score of that on. I'll have to look that up. And Falcon and Winter Soldier. The only thing I did not do with that, And it's mainly because I'm not that into, I like the character okay enough, but I have not watched Loki yet because I'm just not a Loki fan. I don't dislike the character, but it's not, for me, seeing what happens to Sam Wilson was important viewing for me to see how his story progressed, because he has to take up this huge ass mantle that Steve Rogers left behind. Same thing with Bucky, with the whole whatever. But Loki, I'm like, nah, I can wait. And I'll just binge it at some point.
I liked Loki, but I know a lot of people, I know a lot of people didn't. But at a certain point, like, I just have to think, I don't, like, people think that the biggest criticism I saw of Loki, and this is not a spoiler or anything like that, but the people just kept saying, like, it didn't stick the land, like, it was a good show that failed to stick the landing because it was too devoted towards the future. And it's like, just, okay, we've been in this for 12, 13 years now. We know how these movies, we know how the Marvel machine works. Like, you can't, that is a criticism that has been, like, thrown since Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Like, you, it didn't, I don't know. I feel like you can't keep harping on that. Like, yeah, it, yes, it launched, it's launching all of Phase 4. Like, that is exactly what it was doing, and it was never not going to do that. Yeah. And for you to sit there and think that, for you to have sat there and watched that show thinking that it wasn't going to do that, that I feel like you, see, I'm trying not to be negative. I just feel like maybe you shouldn't have been the one to review it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
it's one of those things where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is so big and they have these things in the universe that make sense to them, and it makes sense to most of us, to the point of it's the long game. It's not the short game. It's the long, from the after credits scene in Iron Man to the very last scene, no after credits, in Endgame. That's 23, 24 movies and multiple years of story that were given to us at a decent pace. It wasn't just shoved down our throats. Now, I know, I think I'm remembering this right, you went to a Marvel marathon, didn't you? At one point?
No.
Okay.
That was not me.
Okay. Well, somebody I know went to a Marvel movie marathon to catch up on whatever, like, it was like the first six films or something to catch up before the next one or whatever, when they used to do those things.
Okay.
My point is that the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what they've built up over the last almost, you know, whatever, like you said, 13 years or so, it's the long game. You're never going to get a simple answer. You're like, some, especially with Loki, you're never going to get a simple answer with Loki. Loki is the onion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He has all these layers. He has everything, like, going on behind the scenes and the mischief and everything else. So, of course, that's going to set up Phase 4. And the fact that everyone that assumed this, that Loki was going to have a good fit. Loki wasn't a finishing point. It was a starting, as you said, it was a starting point. It was to lead everyone into what comes after the Infinity Saga.
Yeah, and it's like, are you, the other thing I have to say is, like, have you ever read a comic? I mean, there are entire comic series that are like a six-issue miniseries that its only purpose is to start a bigger event. Like, you don't get, like, it, they're literally making comics into movies.
Yes.
And it's like, you can't, it just annoys me when I see that kind of stuff. It's like, you to have expected anything else from the Marvel machine, and I will continue to call it the Marvel machine.
It is.
is silly.
Yeah, like, I don't see calling it the Marvel machine as a negative thing, because It is a well-oiled machine. Everybody knows what they're doing and where they want to go. Not everybody's going to like where they go after now that the Infinity Saga is done. But I'm open. I'm curious to see what happens next. I'm curious to see how they continue on without Iron Man or whatever. And
so, okay, now... this is, I don't know if I feel like I tweeted this out, or maybe I had a conversation with Allie about it. I think I did tweet it, but I don't know if you guys saw it or not. Mm-hmm. But I'll just bring it up here so we can actually have a maybe have a conversation about it. Is, Mike, we talked about, before this, we talked about that getting in that cycle, that repetitive, that you get in that repetitive cycle, and then if you can break that cycle, you realize that it's not, whatever you were doing might not have been that important, right?
Right.
We talked about that before the show.
Yeah.
And so I had this thought when Allie and I were, you know, thinking about going to see Black Widow. And it was like, does it still matter? And I don't say like, I don't mean it like if Black Widow had come out when it was supposed to, which was spring 2020.
Yeah.
Like I feel like. I felt like the Marvel machine, and having the conversation with my wife about going or not, I felt like the Marvel machine had lost its momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Because we got conditioned to, it started with one movie, and then the next year it was like two Marvel movies. And by the time like everything was kind of wrapping up, we had five Marvel movies within the last, between 2018 and 2019, there were five Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's about right.
But we got drip fed like that stuff from the beginning. It wasn't like, okay, here's five movies. It was, okay, here's Iron Man. Okay, that works. Okay, here's Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk. Okay, that worked. Here's Iron Man 3, Thor, Captain America, you know, Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they slowly, like, okay, then they're like, okay, now we've got the production team, now we can do three movies a year, we can do four movies a year. And then, you know, they have their big finale, and can we just take a minute here real quick to mm-hmm. highlight the fact, I don't know if you guys did this or not, but how remarkable it is, how lucky it is that both Marvel and Lucasfilm got to wrap up their Star Wars stuff and the Marvel, like, Infinity Saga before COVID hit.
Oh, I know.
Like, can you imagine, like, having to, like, wait 2 years to see Endgame?
Yeah. No. That just
keeps blowing my mind that they got, like, geeks, like, lucked out so hard.
Oh, yeah.
On the amount of things that wrapped up geek wise in 2019, like mm-hmm. before the world went to crap, is just, I can't believe that happened. But okay, so we were drip fed all this stuff. They released their last movie. Boom, COVID hits. There's not a movie in sight, but we get the TV shows to keep us kind of interested in what's going on. And then finally, they're able to release Black Widow, but it's a year and a half later, and maybe people kind of realize that, like, being first to see it or whatnot is not all that important. But now, there's Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, and Eternals. There are four Marvel movies this year. Three of them are releasing between like September and December.
Yeah.
Like, to go from nothing to all of a sudden four, I feel like I'm missing one, but to go from nothing to four movies, like, yeah, that was fine when we got ramped up into it. But now that the movie going public is like trying to ease back into going to the movies with all the restrictions and everything like that, like throwing four movies out the gate, like, that's what I'm saying. Back then I was the frog in the slowly boiling pot of water. Mm-hmm. I'll go see four Marvel movies a year. That's nothing. You want to do three Marvel movies in 3 months? Whoa, buddy, hold on a second here. Let's
I think the reason why, and I could be wrong, I could be completely wrong. I think it's because the entertainment landscape has changed, as we were talking earlier. We were actually talking about this off air before Steve got here. We're not, Mike and I are not really interested in going back to theaters at all.
I'm not either.
Okay, good. So the three of us are not interested in going back to theaters. For me personally, as I said to Mike and Steve, you already know this, I'm a control freak. I want to control my entertainment. I have not seen Black Widow yet, but I know what happens because spoilers don't affect me. I want to know. I want to go to Wikipedia and read whatever I have to read so I have the information in the back of my head in case anybody on the internet does say something about it that does spoil it. And I'd be like, whatever. And I'll just forget it, that it got spoiled. Whatever, it doesn't matter to me. But the thing is, because the entertainment landscape has changed, the movie industry had to change to the point of, oh, people aren't going to the theaters anymore. People are sitting at home. Let's have them pay $30 a month to get premiere access. And that's fine. I have no, I'm not saying anything about the $30. I'm not saying if people want to pay that, that's great. If they want to see it, for me, I can wait till October 6th to see Black Widow for what I already pay on Disney Yep. Plus. That's fine with me. I don't have a problem with that. But I love the option for anyone, especially families. You know, Steve and Mary have two children. If Steve and Mary want to show their kids Transformers the Movie 2022, whatever animated, whatever thing that might be, and it's whatever, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what it is. Like, Oh, let's spend the $30. We have however long you get it for. I don't know what the Mike, you can probably tell me how long Premier Access grants you.
Well, that's what's interesting. And I will, because I want to touch on that a little bit, okay. But I'll wait for you to finish your thing.
Okay. So people can do this Premier Access thing. They can get the movie right at home on whatever television surround sound setup they have. They can go to Walmart and spend $20, $30 or less on snacks or whatever, and drinks and, you know, soda, Gatorade, whatever you want to use for the kids, whatever, water, whatever, you know, and go home and make a family. Like, this reminds me of that old, Steve, you remember this, Family Home Video, the old company that used to do the Transformers VHS tapes. This Yep. reminds me of that, where families are at home, whether it's because of COVID or not, and they can have a personal experience by just spending $30 to have Premier Access for whatever it is. There's no going to the theater. There's no, you know, kids at home, kids are going to be kids, but in public, you want them to behave. There's no having to, you know, take Ian or Nolan around the corner and say, if you don't behave right now, I'm going to take away your toys when we get home. You know, there's none of that because it's home entertainment. And that's where I think the movie industry is going. That's why I think there's going to be Marvel movies one every month or one every three, whatever it is.
Well, and I think, like, honestly, I stopped going to movies years ago, but that's more so because, one, I don't have time to get away anyway. And between work and, you know, the kids and everything else, like, by the end of the day, I just want to sit home and watch from the comfort of my house. I mean, I've got two monitors set up here. Half the time I'll be doing graphics or messing with, you know, editing something or just messing around anyway or playing a game, and I'll watch Netflix on the other screen. So it's, I don't know, it's just the convenience of it. And not to mention, every time I've gone to the theater, it's no knock against the theater, it's against the morons that are there, but you'll have these inconsiderate fools that are constantly in the theater with you and making the movie going experience miserable. So honestly, like, that's been always been a deterrent for me, going to the theater as opposed to just staying home. Now, I think the last movie I saw in theater was, Terminator, I think. I went and saw it with a guy from work, and we went after a recording session, and he's like, hey, you want to go catch that new Terminator movie? And we're like, sure. And so we went over to the theater, and it's one of those ones where they serve you food.
Mm-hmm.
If you are inclined to do so. But
right.
So we went in there. It was dead. Not a soul in there. This was before COVID. And we went in there and sat down. The theater was not only understaffed, but there was nobody there seeing a movie. I think we were the only two in the entire theater. And so we just watched the movie, kicked back and relaxed. Like, I mean, we just didn't worry about it. But yeah, it was just, I don't know. I enjoy going to the theater for the surround and the big screen and everything. But on a whole, like, I just don't enjoy going to the theater anymore.
Really quick before Mike goes, I'll say this. Over on one of our other shows, Studio 2009, that we started last year, this year, whenever it was, I'm doing this thing with Birdman Dodd, 12 Months of Star Wars, where I've always wanted to wait until the entire saga was released to cover it in chronological order, and that's what we're doing. I have never enjoyed The Phantom Menace more than I have watching it on my phone, laying in my own bedroom. Like,
gross.
Okay, but, or whatever, but I'm saying, like, you know, if, say what you will about, hey, at least it's not Attack of the Clones. I didn't enjoy that one.
No, I'm not saying anything about your choice of movie.
I know.
Grossed out by your viewing.
Well, okay, but, you know.
You are what...
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Nope.
Go ahead. No, I want you to. Come on.
I
can take it.
No, it's fine. It's just that anytime I hear something like that, I'm always reminded, and I think I actually found the Wired magazine because I have it. There's a great, I know I've brought it up before, but there was a Wired article, and it's just about the good enough generation.
It's not, and, for me, it's not about that, but go ahead.
But but you are, though, because you're watching a movie on your phone and that's good enough for you. That's what I'm saying. And that's what the whole, it was about the people that, it was about the generation of people that would consume media any way that they could, down to like the lowest common denominator versus like people that only want to watch a movie off of like a 4K disc or only want to listen to music off of vinyl. And it was like that, that's where the good enough generation comes from. MP3 is good enough. YouTube videos are good enough.
Ain't nothing wrong with a good scratchy vinyl.
I'm not saying vinyl is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm saying, like, you know, watching any movie on your phone is that is one thing I can safely say I've never done. I have watched movies on my iPad, but like never at home. Like,
well, okay.
see, for me, I download movies and TV shows to my phone, but the convenience factor of it is more so what it is. And usually it's because I'm somewhere, like if I'm at work and I'm doing something monotonous where I don't have to pay attention and it's literally like click, copy, paste, move, drag, do this, you know, it's just a bunch of consistent, it's mostly when I'm doing website work. Mm-hmm. So I have certain shows that they're not necessarily something they're usually something I've seen before, honestly, because I can't give full attention to it. So it's more so background.
That's different.
So like I have every Star Trek movie and TV series, like I have multiple episodes downloaded and then I sit there and it's like background mostly. And I'm taking it in, but it's so that I can concentrate on something other than work. But when I'm watching, you know, something new, I generally do it from either my TV, which is a smart TV now. I never thought I'd get one of those. but it's mighty convenient. And then I watch it at my second monitor in my desk area or my laptop upstairs. But when I watch something new on my phone, it's usually when I'm gone somewhere, like an airplane or camping, and I have no access to internet, and so I download them to watch.
Right.
And for me, it's not about the just good enough thing. I was born with optic atrophy and nystigmatism. I have nerve damage in my eyes. Even with glasses, I only have correction up to 20/50. And I hate wearing glasses. So I am technically legally blind. So while I would love to be able to sit here, and I actually have my... Karen got me a 4K 55-inch television back in Christmas of 2018. It's sitting in my bedroom in the box. I haven't put the mount up yet to get it on the wall. So I have something that I can watch this stuff on. It's just when I'm watching it for podcast purposes, like you look any old pictures of me anywhere from back when I was a kid, I am literally less than 5 inches away from the television because my eyesight is that damn bad. So me laying in bed on my Samsung Galaxy S9, looking at my phone, watching Revenge of the Sith, because that's the next one we have to watch, to make sure I see and catch everything so I can discuss it on a podcast, that is what I mean by I'm okay with watching the stuff on my phone, because for me, I want to be able to catch every detail. And sitting here at my computer watching it on a 24-inch monitor, it's not going to cut it.
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean any type of offense with it. I'm just saying.
No, like, I'm not offended. I'm just explaining to you that it's not.
I'm not saying there aren't use cases for it. It just whenever I hear that, it just reminds me of that article about the good enough generation and how it's like.
You'll have to send that to me so I can put it in the show notes.
That's what's destroying. Oh, I have to go find it. That article was written like 10 years ago. Like things are way worse now than they were 10 years ago.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But, so, all right, here's my thing. Like, real quick, so I don't lose this. The $30 Premier Access thing with Disney Plus, it is a one-time fee you pay to watch that movie. Now, the nice thing is you own it.
Oh, really?
You're not renting it. It's not $30 to rent it, where it's the usual, once you start the movie, you have 24 hours to finish it.
Right.
Or if you rent it, you have 30 days to start watching it. No, you own it.
Wow. That's cool.
Hold on. On Disney Plus.
Mm.
It does not go to your digital locker. You do not have a digital copy of it. It does not go to movies anywhere. It is in Disney Plus.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. I don't do the whole purchase thing in an app. If I'm going to buy it, I want to own it.
Well, so now my thing with the Disney with Premier Access was always like, I don't have a problem going and paying $30 or more. Now, I'm in a different situation than you guys. When we moved down here to Columbus, we ended up with an AMC theater near us that has a Dolby theater in it. And it is immaculate. It is laser projection. I'm pretty sure I've talked about it here before, and I've lamented about it many times online. But you don't have to worry about people kicking your seat. They have walls behind every seat, so you can't get kicked in the back. And everything's a recliner. It's the presentation is immaculate. The sound system is superb. It makes IMAX look like a crap show. So we had signed up for AMC's A-list thing, which was, it was for $20 a month. You could go see as many movies as you wanted.
Right.
So Allie and I, both of us together, we paid $40. We could go to the movies as many times as we wanted. Didn't matter what show it was, what time, but like, you know, if you went, we always went to try to go to the Dolby House because that's where you got the most bang for your buck. Because if you went once, you've pretty much at least once a month, you've pretty much paid for itself.
Yeah.
And if you go again, like the next week, or even if you went the next day, and it wasn't just once a day, it wasn't like that stupid movie pass thing. It was, you could go see whatever you wanted.
You could basically theater hop. You could go to the theater at 9 a.m. and leave the theater at 9 p.m. and you've seen like 9 movies within one day. Yeah.
And yeah. Okay. So we had that. So, and we had no, because we had that, we had no problem paying for movie snacks or anything like that But in before we had that, we didn't have a problem paying whatever it was because we knew we were getting the experience that we wanted. We knew what we were getting. And so when they did the Premier Access thing, well, when it first started, remember when COVID hit and everything was shifting to being at home, it was $20 to rent the movie. And that wasn't just on Premier Access. That was like on all the digital storefronts. It was $20 to rent it. And I'm like, that ain't happening.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Not a chance. But what really irked me about it was, I don't know if you guys remember this or if you used it the way that I did, but in the early days of iTunes, okay, when songs were 99 cents or $1.30,
yep.
If you bought songs off of an album and then you wanted to buy the actual album,
it was cheaper.
It was prorated.
Yep.
So I've always kind of thought, like, okay, if I rent this movie, you know that I rented it on your store. Why wouldn't you just give me like let me buy the movie like when it's actually available to buy digitally? Let me buy it for $5.
Yeah.
Like you know that. So like, why isn't that like a thing, first of all? Because I would rent way more movies if that was the case. Let me just say that right now. But my big issue with coming home, like, I don't have a problem paying what I pay for to go see a movie in the theater. But $30 to or $20 to rent a movie at home, like they didn't subsidize my home theater.
Yeah.
Like the money that I spent buying my home theater, I paid that.
Yeah.
Disney didn't throw any money my way or cut any deals with me or a distributor or anything like that. Like when I go to a theater, like I'm renting that laser projector. I'm renting that Atmos sound system. I'm renting that giant screen and those leather Lazy Boy recliners. I'm renting all of that for my money to get that experience.
Right.
You want to charge me that same thing at home and you didn't pay for any of the stuff I have in my house.
Yeah, no.
That, so like, I didn't agree with that. And like, we held out for a while, but I kind of, in the back of my mind, I was like, I know that we're going to end up seeing, we're probably going to end up paying for Black Widow. And they put up the tickets for Black Widow with AMC and I pre-ordered my tickets and then AMC changed their COVID policy.
Right.
And it used to be, the way it worked was you have reserved seating. So when you picked a seat, AMC would automatically block out the seat immediately to the left and right of you. So nobody could sit right next to you. And so Allie and I discussed it. We're like, okay, we'll get tickets. We got our tickets. We got them in the seats that we wanted. And I was sitting on the porch one day and like a week before the movie came out. And I went just to check because you can go back in and see how many tickets they sold, like how many seats. Right. And I noticed that the seats immediately to our left and right were now sold. And we had a conversation about it. And when push came to shove, we didn't exactly feel safe going to see the movie. And even before that, like when we were going to go, like I worked at a movie theater. I worked at a movie theater for 10 years. Okay.
Yep.
More than that, like 15 almost. Like ain't nobody in the theater going to enforce a seating policy.
No.
So, especially for a movie like Black Widow. So, like, I told Allie, I said, if we go to this movie and someone sits down in the seat that is not supposed to have been sold to either my left or your right or vice versa, however we depended to sit.
Whatever, yeah.
If someone sits in those seats that they're not supposed to sit in, we won't say anything. We will get up and walk out. Like, right. I'm not going to start an argument with anybody, but if someone's going to sit in those seats that they're not supposed to be in, no usher is going to tell somebody to move. I'm not going to cause a scene. We're just going to get up, walk out, and ask for a refund. That was our plan.
Yeah.
Luckily, AMC took that out of our hands by selling those seats. And so we're like, we're not going.
Yeah.
And we ended up, we did it. We did the $30 thing like the Saturday after we were supposed to go Friday night, and Saturday night we were just like, you know what? Let's just do it. And like, I don't know if it's because I got so used to like the Marvel stuff, like the Marvel TV shows, like the Black Widow didn't do anything. Like I felt like I there's no doubt in my mind that if I saw that in the theater, like that opening, that the opening Marvel Studios logo, like if I had seen that in a theater after like a year and a half of not being in a theater, I probably would have seen a grown man cry.
Yeah.
But like watching that at home, nothing. So like there is some to me, I know there is still something in going to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. It's not that I don't want to go. It's not. I don't find it worth it to go. I don't think it's worth it to me to risk it to go.
Yeah, it's more worth it to sit at your home theater that you paid all this money for to have the experience at home than to go out and, like you said, rent the experience for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is.
Oh, and I also want to back up real quick because I can only imagine so many people shouting and screaming. I know Marvel isn't releasing one movie a month. I'm just saying they have three movies still coming this year.
Yeah.
And then next year, I think they have another four.
Yeah.
So there are seven movies between Marvel movies between now and the end of next year. Like all I was saying is before we got conditioned to that.
Right. We were used to the drip of movies where it's a movie now, or two a year, and where it's now three a year or four a year or whatever.
Yes. That's all. That's
yeah.
And so
yeah.
It's because like, under any other, like, just think about it. Think about this for a second. Any other movie, people would be saying that's too many too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but yep. Nobody said that about a Marvel movie.
No.
Because I remember when Pixar made the announcement that they were going to go from one movie a year to two. And I thought, good luck keeping up that quality, boys. And boy, did they not. But like when Marvel decided that they were going to be like, oh, we're going to do four or five. I was like, okay, I'll go see them all. We'll see how good they are. And of course, because, you know, we got that cookie cutter stamp and they're all pretty solid.
Yeah. But,
that's just been my whole thing. Like, it comes down to. Like, I would have no problems at all paying that $30, like, if that digital copy went in my movies anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it stayed tied, that was, like, the biggest hang-up that I had was that it was locked to Disney Plus. So if I ever stop subscribing, like, I've lost that money.
You've lost that ownership of... Well, with you, you're lucky because you have a 3-year deal because you took the advantage of the Disney Plus is launching, and if you pay, I think it was pay now for 3 years, you have it for three years. I wish I could have done that.
Oh,
but anyway,
you bet your butt. I would have canceled that so many times.
I know
over by now, like and signed up for it again.
Yeah.
I don't need to keep. Granted, they've been smart. I will say this: Disney has been smart. It's not almost like they've made it not worth it to cancel between their shows, because like Mandalorian ends, a Marvel show starts. When that Marvel show stops, they've got like you get maybe like a 3-week breathing period before the next one starts up. Mm-hmm. They've been smart about how they're doing this, and because they're not making it bingeable, they can do that. If this had been a binge, if their stuff had been bingeable, like I definitely would have been had time to cancel my subscription in between. So they've been very smart about how they're doing it. And I hope that there is something that allows me to renew again.
Yeah. And the one thing about the Marvel shows and Star Wars specifically between everything, they have these little vignette things. Like Marvel has two things, Marvel Legends and assembling the
the universe. So assembling the universe on Disney Plus is essentially behind the scenes of whatever shows. So behind the scenes of WandaVision, Falcon and Winter, and Loki. Legends is basically for anyone who has never seen any of the Marvel movies. Like, they can catch you up on Wanda or Vision or Falcon or Zemo or Black Widow or Loki or the Tesseract or whatever. So they have these things for the new people that may not want to go back to 2008 and watch Iron Man and whatever. I'm not saying people shouldn't want to do that. For me right now, because I am the way I am, and I'm all about continuity and how like the chronological order, I found a website, because now that the Infinity Saga is done, listed everything from phase 1 to phase 3 chronological order. So you start with First Avenger, you go to Captain Marvel, Iron Man, Iron Man 2. I still don't believe Incredible Hulk is included, but whatever, that's just my personal opinion. And whatever else. So I'm looking at phase 3 here, and I want to specifically bring this up really quick to talk about Black Widow. Everybody's like, wait, Black Widow died in Infinity War. It takes place between Civil War and Infinity War. So phase 3 starts with Civil War, goes to Black Widow, goes to Homecoming, Strange, Panther, Ragnarok, and then Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Endgame, and then Far From Home. I am perfectly fine watching Black Widow on its own now that I know where it fits into the universe once I actually have access to it, and I'm perfectly fine waiting for it, because it brings up more of, oh yeah, I need to watch that. Even though they should have given her her movie like after Iron Man 2, but whatever.
They couldn't because of contracts.
I know. So, Steve, we've kind of taken over your show.
Hey, that's all right. It was a great discussion, though.
Yeah.
It just means we'll have to do another one of these again soon.
Yes. Same time, same channel next week. No, I don't know. Whatever.
I am available. I am.
Hey, I'm game.
Yeah.
Seriously. I think my wife would rather have me do anything than play Fortnite right now. So
I have never gotten into Fortnite. So hey, maybe that's one thing you could do. You can hop on Twitch and just kinda give me a walkthrough of Fortnite, but I have never been into the whole Fortnite thing. I don't know what it is. I just never paid attention to it. Mm.
Sounds good. So with that, thank you for joining us here on Altered Geek. As you can normally find us on geekcastradio.com and on various podcatchers. You can find me on Twitter at SCP21. And you guys, where can they find you?
I am at BoothNinja81 on Twitter.
I am at TFG1Mike on Twitter.
So thank you for joining us here, and we hope you enjoyed this discussion. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Unplugged, unleashed, unwhatever. Oh my God, this show has come a long way in 8 years.